welcome to another edition of Solid Foundations with myself, Pori Kilfordy. I'm alone this particular series because Lisa, of course, is away to Australia for her Christmas break. If it's Christmas time, if you're listening back to this, hopefully you had a good Christmas. If you're listening to it over Christmas, happy Christmas to you and happy New Year. Well, of course, throughout the year, we have had our challenges on the podcast. We've been trying to bring you as much up-to-date knowledge as we possibly can. We've been trying to do that, and we will continue to do that right through into 2024 as well. But recap it on 2023, which has been, well, some good opportunities for others, some challenges and difficulties for others as well. But there always is opportunities out there. Now, this time, as it is a special one, as it is Christmas, we've decided to bring on an award-winning property investor from Northern Ireland, of course, Ms. Ruth Smith, the award-winning Ms. Ruth Smith. You're very welcome to the Solid Foundations Property Podcast. I do believe you're just fresh off the plane with a lovely big award. Is that so?
Yes, that's it. I connected with a company in England, Sparity Network, and I just learned so much from them. They have weekly calls and they keep you level in a market when there's so much going on. There's so much noise about interest rates, about crashes coming, and they keep you level. And yes, I picked up an award. I picked one up last year and then I got one this year. And I was really, really shocked. I wasn't expecting it at all. So it was nice actually to pick the award up. I don't often talk about it, to be honest with you, Park, but yeah, here I am talking about it.
Yeah, you're very very humble individual, Ruth, and suppose unassuming as well, from what a lot of people tell me. There's a big story, of course. I'll just have to go level with everyone here, because of course I know Ruth. She has of course been presenting at the Northwest Property Meet, and of course she's a mentor of mine as well, so that's how I know her. So just to give everyone a clear run aside, so Ruth, suppose, look, we'll talk about the market this year. As I said in the opening couple of segments, there was the 2023 market has been very challenging for people. It has been very good for other people. But what has your experience been of 2023?
To be honest with you, Park, I think there's nothing wrong with the market. It's more the media makes the market sound a lot worse than it actually is. So they hype people up by saying the worst drop in prices over the last 14 years, but if you really look into that, that's not real, you know, what they're actually saying. And there's a lot of fear built up in people by the media, so people are afraid to buy, people are afraid to do things because they think there's going to be a crash. There's not going to be a crash. There may be a right fine of prices, but even with that there, I don't see anything drastic happening in our market here in Northern Ireland throughout the next year, because there hasn't been a massive increase. And if we look back to the years of 2008, we're still not as high as we were then, and still properties in Northern Ireland in negative equity since 2008.
That is the case, and suppose a lot of people don't really register. That doesn't really register, because as you said, the media is pumping the narrative about the interest rates and you know, aspects of that. And I suppose, as you said, you know, some cases, well, it's not as bad or it's not as difficult as such, but maybe the interest rate is putting off investors currently. But you've indicated that that's not the case if you're trained and you know what you're doing.
Well, the thing is, you know, even just today, it's been announced that inflation has come down. And so what's that going to do? That's going to bring the interest rates down. There's even a possibility that the Bank of England may reduce the rates again next year. That's what they're talking about today already, hot off the press with inflation dropping. Once again, the mortgage lenders have to get their money out. The interest rates are starting to come back down. You are starting to get better rates again. It'll probably never be as low as they were. We were in an unreal market for so many years. But, you know, today you can still do a buy-to-let and it still works. It's all key about how you buy the property. Buying the property is the day you make your money. So the day you buy your property, if you buy it right, you will make money.
Yeah, and that's something you've always maintained, is buying right. And, you know, in the past, maybe, look, the old scars, and look, there is some properties that were bought at, you know, after the pandemic, which were overinflated prices, if you ask me, for a lot of the stock that was out there. Agents was having a field day, but you know, there's still those situations where they're sitting on, you know, the interest rate maybe was 2% when they bought it, but when it went to 6%, that's where the real issue has started for a lot of those particular investments.
The thing is, if they have bought right and they haven't over leveraged, they should be fine. Not only that, a lot of people are already in a fixed rate, and maybe a lot of them haven't even felt the impact of the increase in rates. And hopefully by the time they're ready to refinance, the rates will be on the downward climb again anyway. So yes, if you've bought right and you haven't over leveraged, so basically, you know, you bought, you refurbished, refinanced and done that once, and you're not over leveraged, you're still going to be cash flowing, unless you have to sell your property today due to circumstances. It's not going to have too much of an impact on you.
Yeah, and that, suppose, it's sometimes it's hard to ride out that storm. But actually, if you maybe take the level-headed approach to these things, sometimes it's just thinking through, because over the last 15, 18 months, you know, there's been up and up increases. You know, it's been exponentially. Anyway, if you're in Northern Ireland, there has been some interest rates increase in the South Ireland as well, because we do discuss both areas on the podcast. But look, from your point of view, suppose, let's get into the crux of your story, Ruth, because it's a really, really inspiring one. And it wasn't also rosy for Ruth when she first started out. Maybe we'll take you back to that time and tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I've been in property since I was 18. I know that's not very many years. As you can see, I'm very young looking. But I've been too many years to count. The first property I ever had was a HMO. It wasn't known as a HMO back in those years. And it was in Malone Avenue in Belfast. It was a really, really good property. Had I known what I knew today, I would have never sold that property. Unfortunately, I sold it. But I lived in the property and I managed the property, and I had no idea what I was doing. I was clueless completely. I remember one quarter getting an electric bill in. And normally electric bills were about 150 for the quarter, and this one came in at 350. Now today that might not sound much, but 20 years ago, £350 on an electric bill was massive. And I remember going up and knocking the doors. In one room, this attractive looking fella with his sunbed was lying there, and him and the sunbed were out through the door. Now today you couldn't do that. You couldn't just put them out today like that. In the sunbed, they weren't long staying in the house, because he didn't want to pay extra for the. So I learned a lot through these lessons and that there. That was my first real experience of being a landlord. I sold that property. I went on and agreed to buy 21 properties. Thankfully enough, I didn't complete on the whole 21. I completed on 7, and once again, that was a complete eye-opener. We would go in during the day and do the work, and some of our friends would come in at night and undo the work. So it was a steep learning curve that there. Unfortunately, I came out of that experience in debt. So I started with money, and I lost a lot of money in that experience. And that was not knowing what I was doing, buying in the wrong location, and I had no idea what I was doing. I just seen good properties at good prices and thought it would work. But today, yeah. Like help, you know.
Was that suppose when you had the HMO, you were what, 18 years of age, so that was ambition for you straight away. There's not too many could say that. But after that, you got an opportunity to buy 21 of those. So explain that, how that comes about, because it's not every day you get a phone call to say you have 21 properties here for you to buy.
So basically, what actually happened was I sold the HMO, because I'd moved out of the location. But had I known what I know today, I would have never sold it. So what actually happened was, I was doing my due diligence and looking, and I seen this set of 7 houses. And it was really cheap, pork. I can't remember. I'm going to say £3,000 a house. So it was really, really cheap. And I thought, oh, what's 7, 3 7s or 21? And, you know, £3,000 a house. You know, I can do this here. So I agreed the whole 21 houses. And I bought them in batches of 7. So I completed on the first 7. I actually got one completely refurbed and completed. and sold. And then the government came in and vested the other ones off me. So basically it was a lost case because I'd invested a lot of money and then the government only gave me what they felt was market value. So it sort of was a bit of an impact. It had a bit of a negative impact on me that I also bought another number of houses in the Donegal Road area in Belfast. And that was an experience as well. I went in one day and the tenant wasn't there, it was somebody else. And I was quite heavily pregnant. I think I was about 8 months pregnant with one of my children at the time. And they changed the locks. My husband left me in the house. He went round to get locks and there was petrol bombs and everything upstairs. Most scary experience ever. But yes, we got them sorted. We got them out and we moved forward and we sold that house as well. We just felt at that stage it maybe wasn't the right location to be in, but today that's different.
There's a good book in use there, Ruth, for that story. Yeah. And look, that didn't really put you off because, you know, as I say, you know, you had to dig deep, and resilience is a big trait in Northern Ireland as well, as it is across a lot of the Republic as well. But specifically in that area during that time, you know, what year are you going back to there? Because it must have been, I know things are tough now, but back then it was probably tough early.
95, maybe 97.
Yeah.
My kids were small at the time. And yeah, so it was in around 95, in around that sort of time, and it was quite scary. There was still a lot of, you know, that political end of things in Belfast at that stage in the areas that I was working in. Today it's okay to go into those areas, but then when I went into it, it probably wasn't. And probably being a country girl from County Monaghan, I didn't know an awful lot about Belfast, so I probably should have done a bit more due diligence, but I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. Now, look, I suppose that was one aspect, but you know, you just, there's a bit of get up and go there. I can get out of you, Ruth. Take me back to that, you know, that little bit, where did that all come from? Because it's not, as I say earlier on, we started off with 18 years of age, just going to buy a house. You know, where has that come from?
Well, my parents had actually helped me to buy the first house. But once it was bought, they left it to me to manage. And to be honest with you, I really hadn't a clue what I was doing. I was vetting my own tenants, bringing people into this house to live. And there was maybe about 7 or 8 bedrooms in it. But years ago, there was 2 people in the bedroom. It wasn't one. That's the way it was. So there maybe was 15 tenants in that house. And it was a big thing. I had no idea what I was doing.
So you got a leg up, first of all. Your parents give you that kind of, were they hardworking? Obviously, they obviously were really hardworking, but what was their background? Because it's not every kid you say, there you go, there's some money for something, and it's a prop. So there must have been something there from before, was there?
Basically, what my parents, my dad was always in business. He was always a businessman in that. And mum, she's the force behind everything, and she's still alive and still keeps us all going. But so basically, I was coming up to Belfast to work, and I needed somewhere to stay. And rather than renting somewhere, we felt it was best to buy and put it on a mortgage. So it was basically a residential property for me to live in, and then I rented it out. You couldn't do the same thing today because mortgage regulations and all that. So it was really taken out as a residential house for me to live in. So my parents gave a small deposit just to help me. We refurbed the house and we brought it up to standard. It was a lovely big double-fronted house with a lovely big garden on Malone Avenue in Belfast.
And that there just kind of got you interested then. Suppose you kind of got the bug, was it?
Yeah, I always loved property. I always, even before this, I'd have sat years ago, used to get in the Belfast Telegraph and in the different newspapers, you'd have got all these pages of properties. And I'd just sat looking at all the property, thinking, oh, I could buy that house, I could buy that house. I just had that keen, and I was always looking at property. And I just loved looking at property. And I've always loved property, and I still love it.
And looking at that, suppose you got the first one, you got out, and the agent, as I said, we touched on it, he picked it up and said, look, do you want 21 houses? And look, there's no saying in Ireland, there's no backwater in you. And that means like it didn't fear you in any particular way. He just says, yeah, I can do that. Where does that come from, Ruth?
Well, it's probably from my background, a bit of get up and go, you know. And no matter what you face in life, there's a way through it. There's a solution. You know, you can look for the problems or you can look for the solutions. And every property journey that you face, there is going to be problems. But it's how you handle those problems. It's how you face them. So even to this day, there's always issues and problems in property. But it's how you handle those that makes you succeed. So many people think, oh, I can't do this. I just can't handle this. And they give up. But those people give up, never see the rewards. But it's those people that stick in there through thick and through thin that will see the rewards in the end.
Because it's not an easy thing to do. And it is a very taxing aspect on your head too. You know, something might be going wrong. A builder might be not there on time. And obviously you might have finance out, whatever way that might be. If it's investor finance or if you're raising from the bank and you're panicking to get tenants in or panicking to get builders out. How do you deal with all that? And I suppose this is where we're going to start the whole thing, is because a lot of individuals we know and that listen to the podcast might be just starting out in their journey, and it might seem absolutely massive that they're going to own another property, and that could just overwhelm them to start with. Where would you start if you're starting all over again?
So basically where I would start, and as I mentor a number of people, is start at the very start. So the most important thing is why are you doing this? If you don't know your why, you will never succeed in property. Because if your why is not strong enough, it won't work. So first thing is find out their why and why they want to do it. And then sit down with them and look at their goals. So if somebody wants to buy a house, that's fine. There's no problem. You can look at their situation. If there's no money, I started. I had no money. I couldn't get mortgages. And I had, not at the 18 stage, but when I restarted again in 2014, I had over 70,000 of credit card debt. I couldn't get mortgages. And the only way I could start was by using other people's money. So if you're sitting here today and you have no money, you can't get mortgages, don't let that stop you. There's a way forward. There's a way through. You can do joint ventures. There's so many other ways you can actually do this. And it's up to you. So if you want to start, sit down, have a conversation with somebody that knows what they're doing. There's lots of people out there think they know about property, but there's very few people who actually live it, work it, and do it. Sit down, make a plan, and make a goal. And you need to set a goal, because if you don't set a goal, you'll never achieve anything. And like I'm very strong about setting goals. If you set goals and very clear goals, and then get somebody to help you to achieve those goals.
Yeah, and that's something that probably down through the years I've learned myself, is that if you want to do something, go and ask someone who's doing it, you know, and it's free. And it's just a matter of having that confidence, picking up the phone or taking them out for a bite to eat. Because a lot of people, you know, they're very interested to see individuals doing well. And yeah, the media and a lot of that other aspect of life that comes at you, you know, there's a mixed message that comes through, and it's difficult for young entrepreneurs who want to get out there, young people that want to get into property and they want to do well, and suppose they're fear to put themselves out there, they're fear to actually pick up the phone. But at the end of fear, you're going to find out if it's for you or not. I suppose that's one way to look at it. That'd be fair.
One way to look at it, Park, is you have an amazing network up in Derry that runs once a month. And anybody that's looking to start into property, that's the place for them to be. Because there's so much help, there's so much support in that network, and there's some amazing people doing some amazing things in that network. And I just love the network up in Northwest. It is really good, down to earth. And so if anybody's looking to start in property, I would say get along to the Northwest Property Meet and learn from the people that are on the ground there doing it day and daily.
Thanks for the plug there, Ruth. We'll take that and definitely do, yeah, reach out to us. And we'd love to help people out and move forward. But look, as we say, we're going to get down to some of the stuff that you're up to. The award-winning property investor, Ruth Smith, you don't get that title too handy. And I know you kind of humbly said, oh, just, you know, come on. And, you know, no. It's an international award. It was in the UK. So, as I say, you must be doing a lot of things right. Tell us about some of the projects you've been working on. I know if some of our listeners or viewers are part of the group, they would have seen some of the photographs. But if they don't know you, tell us about some of the smaller stuff that you've done and some of the bigger stuff that you've also done and doing more.
Well, basically, as I said, I've been in property years, but I came out of property for a number of years due to just everything being such a mess, if I'm being honest. And then I did do some property training back in 2010 and 11, where I had a property portfolio of about 6 properties, and they were just absolutely rubbish. They weren't performing at all. So bringing in about £9,000 of income, I went and did a property training course, and after that, they went to over £40,000 of income. That was the best money I ever spent. And I'm not saying to go and spend money on a training course, because today you can get the help and support without going and spending that sort of money today. But what I am saying is to get the right help and support. So I've done single buy-to-lets where I went in and bought just a simple house at 50, 60,000. Went in and refurbed it. And I have a motto for me, myself personally, that I never leave money in any deal. If I'm going to leave money in a deal, I don't do it. So therefore, I have an infinite return on my investment. So it's a bit like having a bank throwing you out money every month without putting anything in. Doesn't often happen that, but that's a principle I stick to. So basically, I've started and I've worked through the single buy-to-lets, and I took a mentor on myself back a number of years ago, 2014, because everything was a bit of a mess. My portfolio that I had there wasn't really working, and I couldn't see the clear way how to move forward or how to move on. And I had little income, and I wasn't sure what way to go. And I had a lot of outgoings, like I had a massive mortgage at that stage, and it was big. And we never missed a mortgage payment. I don't know how that happened, but it was just a miracle that we never missed a mortgage payment. And we were loaded with credit card debts. And so I enrolled the help of others. So after that, then I went to an auction. I'd never been at an auction in my life, and it was the most scary place ever to go. So I went to an auction to buy these properties in Bangor in North of Ireland. And I had actually offered the bank the day before $120,000 for the properties, and the bank refused the money. And there was maybe about 300-400 people in this room, really busy room, and everybody was bidding mad. And I had my eye on this one block of properties that I wanted. And there were a reserve of $90,000, and it was 4 properties. And that was 4 houses. And they were split into apartments and HMOs. But there was soil floors, no structure to the buildings at all. And it was there for $90,000. And I went to the auction, and the bidding was going crazy. And I had worked out before I went to the auction, I could go up to $270,000 on that portfolio, and I could still make money. So what actually happened was the bidding went crazy. But when we came to this portfolio, they started at 85, nobody. They dropped it to 80, and one man bid at 80. Somebody else bid at 85. And I put my hand up just at the 90. And that was it. I bought the properties at the 90,000. Bear in mind, I'd offered the bank 120 the day before. I walked out of the door of the auction. The man says, I'll give you 110,000 for those properties. I said, I don't want it. Now, I had no money, and I couldn't get mortgages, and I'd spoken to a private investor, and I said, could you give me 600,000? This was my first private investor, my first time ever working. He came down and looked at what it, he says, I don't want any risk valuations. He said, I can see what you're doing. I'll give you 600,000. But thankfully enough, at the start, I didn't need 600. So he gave me the 90,000 plus the money to refurb that building. We went in and refurbed that building and got it all brought up to the thing, to scratch. It probably took about a year. There was, going to say, 4, 8, 12 apartments and a HMO and 4 shops. And it took us probably about a year to turn that around. We did it on a shoestring budget. We couldn't do it today on what we did. We turned it around. We bought it at 90. And I would say if we spent another 90,000 doing it up, that was it. So we probably were out 200,000. I was valued over 500,000 when they came out to value it. So straight away, it was, you know, a hit. Go
Was not
ahead,
a bad
Mark.
deal, that wasn't. It was. They're not about now, but suppose that inner belief in yourself, having, did what you bought what you bought, and you had the scars, and keeping all that going. How was the old mindset at that stage? Because you definitely, I know you touched on it. You were questioning yourself. You must have been
Well,
finding it hard to sleep at night.
I was scared. I'll tell you why. I'm a mortgage broker. That's my background. So I knew the reality of where I was, and I knew getting the money at the end was going to be a challenge. But we had spoke to Bank of Ireland, and they said that they would work with us, and they did. They kept to their word, and at the end, they came out and they revalued. So therefore, I was able to pay back the private investor at the end. It was many a tough day, and I didn't really know. We didn't have a good build team set up. We had it was all just new, everything was new, and you had people in there working that maybe just weren't like a round in a square peg. They just weren't the right fit for what we wanted. But we worked through it anyway, and we got out the other end, and then we went on to our next. So basically that was the starting point, and that was in 2014. We bought that in March 2014. No, May 2014, and then we actually bought another one around the corner. It was on the market. It was 5 one-bed flats, but two back ones were burnt out. We bought it for 80,000, and we spent about 40,000 doing it up, and was valued over 250,000. Once again, private investor gave me the money to do this. Then we refinanced it out. And then after that, I lost the plot and went to Lorne. Seen a house at auction, £10,000. Thought, wow, have to make money at £10,000. Went to the auction, and two men were bidding mad against one another, and they went to 26,000 between them from 10,000. And I just sat there, and I went in at 26,500, and I bought it. And after I bought that house, I'd done a bit of research, and I sort of knew what I was doing by this stage a bit better than what I did at the start. And I looked at the house, and somebody rang me and says, "Ruth, you're not going to believe it. One of those houses just sold, completely refurbed for 99,000." I thought, seriously? And I knew I was going to have to spend a lot of money on this. So, but I had seen one had sold for 170, so that was where I was sort of working my figures. Cut a long story short, we spent about 80,000 doing the house up. And we ended up selling it to a cash purchase for 160. But whenever that house was valued, I had one valuer come in and valued at 115, and another come in valued at 175. Somebody 125 and 150. And my head was pickled completely. I thought, what is the value of this property? So we ended up, because we'd rang the man at the 175 a number of times throughout the process, and we're going to change it from 5 bed to a 4 bed, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And they had watched this house for the last 30 years. It sat there as a wreck. So we made about 45,000 on that one deal.
So
And that
just
was
a
my
bit of a bit of, bit of you know, there's a bit of a trend here. So it's auctions really that you have had focused on, and you do get a bit of bad press about auctions, and emotion takes you away. But you find that it's been lucrative in the first opening part of your story there of the rebound, the Ruth Smith rebound.
I today I would have a different thing on auctions, Park, if I'm being totally honest with you. Reason being, I put one of my own properties up to sell an auction about 2 years ago, and I just don't like auctions. But one of the latest properties that you visited down in Bangor, number 78, my boutique hotel, was indirectly bought through auction. But you need to know how to work the auctions, because the auctions know how to work you.
And is that because it's kind of it is the emotional aspect, because they have you in the room and they're making it sound as if
Online.
it's
It's all online now. Park is not in the room now, you know, and I don't like that. I don't like that because they can bounce bids. I don't like that. You know, so you need to be very switched on to what you're doing for the auctions. So you need to be you need to be 2 steps ahead of them.
And you've touched on your boutique hotel. It's gone full circle here. So you started off with not a smallish project by any stretch of the imagination, but suppose you had the experience then of this is your second time, you know, your second time around. You had a HMO and you had those other couple of properties which got you into difficulty. You're back out the other end of that and you're restarting again. It's a no credit Ruth there. She's not giving herself any credit about restarting again, which a lot of people don't restart because they can't. And did you think about maybe, was there ever thoughts in your head thinking, well, I'm not going to start again? Did that ever cross your mind?
Well, I said to a lot of people, you have a choice. I could have let my negative situation stop me moving forward. And I still do to this day have a negative property. And those negative properties could have stopped me from moving forward. And most people would focus on those negatives. But I parked them to one side and said, right, if I can get private investors and move on and make money over here, I'll sort those out one day. And over the last number of years, I've been sorting that negatives, and I'm down to one now. At one stage, I had about 5 of them, right? And so far, they've all cleaned themselves, and I've come out okay. I'm down with the last one. It's on the market, and the market's a bit quiet at the moment for that sort of house. So hopefully we will get out of it enough to clear the mortgage. As long as I get enough to clear the mortgage, I'm happy.
And the red letter day was, I suppose, when you turned and you said, look, I'm going to have to go and get a little bit of education around this, how I do that, and making that decision, because that couldn't have been easy either, because you're in the shit, let's call it, and you're going to the unknown again, and you didn't know what you're going to hear, you know. Maybe tell us about that, because
I worked for a large mortgage brokerage firm in Manchester, and Park then went down more than once, went down twice, but the first time they went down, the second time I was on target to earn £10,000 a month, and I went to zero overnight, zero, and just the reality of that there. And I remember not even feeling like getting up out of bed. And I got a phone call from the government. Bear in mind, I was self-employed. I got a phone call from the government saying you're entitled to redundancy money. I thought, wow. And that got me out of bed. I came down to my husband's office and seen this wee thing, 2 hours, make money from property. And I thought, well, if I'm losing money from property, what's 2 hours? I've nothing else to do. I'll go and see what this is about. Went and thought, oh, wow, that was amazing. 2 hours, the best 2 hours I ever spent. And at the end of it, this man came up beside me, totally strange, and said, you wouldn't like to share a ticket down to Dublin for 3 days? I goes, yeah. So I got a half-price ticket because he paid the other half of it. And I went to Dublin for 3 days, and it was absolutely amazing. I got it for £500 for the 3 days. So it was a bargain. I love bargains. So anyway,
I can tell.
So I went down to Dublin for the 3 days, and it was the most amazing experience ever. All I wanted to do was buy properties. But at the end of that 3 days, there was a decision to spend 17,000. And at that stage, I knew I was possible to, I could have gone down. I'd said to my husband about going bankrupt. He said, no, we're not going bankrupt. That's where we were. And I looked and I thought, well, if I'm going down, what's another 17,000 on credit cards? So I put the training on a credit card, 17,000, because I thought, well, if I'm going down, what's 17,000? But that was only the start of it, because I had to fly to London. I had to pay for accommodation and hotels. And I brought my son with me as well. He was 17 at the time. And I went over to London, and the courses were amazing. 3-day courses. And they were just amazing. And all I wanted to do was go and buy property. But I knew in my mind that I was far from buying property, because I had such a mess. One, I couldn't get mortgages. 2, I had no income. 3, I had a portfolio at home that wasn't working. And to try and get mortgages just seemed impossible, or try and buy property. But that didn't stop me. Then I enrolled and helped to try and move from where I was. And it was called T60, See Results in 60 Days. And they said, Ruth, you need to put a plug in. The water's just running through your bath like money. and their money's just running through and you need to put a plug in. And I did that there, and I worked with them, and we worked out the other side. And then I went on to like a mentorship. Poor fella came over from England, but I think his head was completely mangled after spending 3 days with me, because I had that much negative. There was nothing. Poor fella, I don't know how he ever seemed.
An affluent word, mangled. It's a Northern Irish word, I think. I think, yeah, we use it all over. Your head can be mangled, but this guy's head was particularly well mangled after he left you, was it?
I really did feel sorry for him, because I was very emotional at the time, because I just couldn't see a way through. I couldn't see a way out of my problem. So anyway, on that mentorship was the day that I actually completed on those first properties in Bangor. So after I completed on them there, the training was very good, and it opened my mind to create a finance, how to get finance, how to, you know, creatively raise money to do the deals. One day I took a head staggers and I walked into a building down in Bangor. I just built for sale there, sitting, and I contacted the agent. Oh, that's sold. So, and then I got a phone call from one day, said, oh, that building's come available. And I went in, it was 11,000 square foot. And I walked in, I thought, oh, that's amazing. This is amazing. It was on the market for 300,000. And that was in the May. And then I contacted them again in the August, and I brought my mum for a wee drive. And she came down and she says to me, what are you thinking about, Ruth? So I went in to give the keys back to the men, and I says to him, there's your keys. I'll give you 150,000 for that building. It was on for 300. He said, no. And I said, 167 or 160. And he goes, no. Well, I said, this is my final offer. And if you don't take it, I'm walking 170. And they accepted 170. And I thought, 11,000 square foot, Ruth, are you mad in the head? And I thought, oh, if you few hundred thousand to turn this around, and just what we could put in that bill would be absolutely amazing. But there was many headaches and many problems. Every possible problem that you could have faced came with that building. It was on a hill, and the council in Bangor thought it was wise to get a flood risk done, because it was on a hill. It might flood on a hill. I've never seen a flood on a hill yet. We had to do a flood risk. Maybe in Bangor, but it took 2 years in planning. It came to the stage at the end, I just said to her, I don't care what you get me, just get me a green card. I just want it passed. I was that fed up waiting. And we got it passed for 18 apartments and 4 shop units. Mm-hmm. And once we started building, working in it, the architect that had designed it had made an absolute mess, and we had to start with a new architect. And so it was just problem, and there was asbestos in it. And we got coached for taking asbestos out, and they were in the region of 120,000 for removing asbestos. So everybody just seen a big building and thought,
there's your saving going.
you're loaded with money, but we didn't pay that in the end for it. But and once again, they were gangsters. Everything that we touched in that building. But thankfully enough, that building actually was just going through my accounts this morning, and just looking at that building. We bought it for 167 in the end. We spent a little over 1.2 million on it. And it's actually valued today at 2.5 million.
Yeah. It's one thing there to actually spot that, and just to see the opportunity that a building like that might bring, you know. Did you ever think maybe of stepping away when the asbestos kind of came knocking at the door, or the architect? Could you see, tell us about the vision that you had for that? Because, you know, obviously you needed to have a really rock solid vision for that particular property, because you would have walked away. And
I walked into that building after I bought a port, and I thought, Ruth, are you mad in the head? Why have you bought this building? Are you mad? You've never done anything like this. You don't know what you're doing. You've no idea what you're doing. And it was, every day was a school day in that building. Every day. And you're getting conflict reports from building control and from fire services. Everybody was giving you conflict reports what way they wanted things done. So it wasn't an easy ride. But just to bring this back to everybody that's out there looking to buy property. One of the latest properties that I actually bought, I bought at 65,000. So it's not a big thing. It's just a normal house on the street, bought at 65,000. We went in. We were a wee bit fed up with planning in Bangor, if I'm being totally honest. They are a bit of a nightmare. I've just got one passed going from one unit to one unit, and it took 125 weeks in planning. 125 weeks. Isn't that mad?
125 weeks. Jesus.
2 1 year. Yeah. So I just, you know, and have another application in there for 8 apartments, and it's in there over a year now. And you just feel you're hitting your head against a brick wall all the time with planning. So whenever I bought this one here, I thought, what can I do without going through planning? And at this stage, we decided I want to do something a bit different, a bit thing. And so we decided to go down the Airbnb, the short term let. And we've done this like a boutique hotel. And it's like a new range we're starting. And I'm just very compassionate about it. It's lovely. And the feedback we're getting from all our guests is really, really good. And I just can see it as a very, very nice way to go forward. We're working on our second one now in Newton Arts. And we will be looking for more of these sort of opportunities.
Yeah, and that's the big word now. I think we're starting to get into. We got past all the nonsense and the nearly nearly not getting out onto the duvet days. But let's look at the strategy now, Ruth, because obviously you've done the buy to let, you've done the HMO. You started off a little bit. A lot of people don't really start off with HMOs. They start off with buy to lets, standard buy to lets, HMO, house of multiple occupancy. You went straight in, and obviously you can tell the character that Ruth is. There's no holding back. So straight in, done a HMO, bought 7 properties, discovered that that was going to go up to the left-hand side, got herself resettled and repositioned again back into it at another level. A couple of really big challenging properties there, but you've come out of that and you've really, I suppose, inspired yourself to do more. And yeah, now it's the apart hotel that really seems to be, this is your niche now. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, well, I have a number of other projects next door to the hotel, of a 15-bed HMO that we're building from the ground up. I did at one stage consider changing it over to the boutique, but I'd like to see the boutique up and running longer before I would do that. So we're at the stage now, we're starting to close down with electrics and, you know, plaster and all inside in the 15-bed HMO. It's a very exciting project as well. We bought that building. We put an offer on it 3 years before we bought it. When we came out of COVID, I got a phone call from the agent saying, we'll accept your offer 3 years later. And I'm going, really? I could hardly remember what my offer was. But so basically, I offered them 80,000. It had been on the market for 6 two-bed apartments. But whenever I looked through the financials of the 6 two-bed apartments and building it out, at that stage, you were looking probably 3,500, maybe 4,000 of rental income. But the cost to build it was going to be about 350. So the figures just didn't stack up. So whenever they came, maybe it's about 6 months later, when it suited us, we completed on it basically. And we completed on the January after the COVID, so 21, we completed in that. Once again, it took 2 years in planning, and we went into planning to change it to a 15-bed HMO. Why did we do that? We did that because with the apartments, your income is going to be about 4,000. With the 15-bed HMO, the income is going to be in excess of 8,000 a month. So it's double the income for a very similar bill cost. So we bought it at 80. We're probably going to spend in the region of 400,000, and the GDV is going to be over 900.
Yeah, that's your gross development value for anyone that's kind of new to this. So it's all about, it comes back to the spreadsheet here, doesn't it? Because emotion can get you certain things, and you know, you just each project, I suppose, has its different complexities, Ruth. And has that been something like the creative side? Because I've seen the shower panels and I'm going, oh my God, the cost of these things. You wouldn't want to break on. But is that what you, after all, that's what you're finding now is your niche as such? As maybe, I know by you, it's going to be a high-end HMO as well. It's just not going to be, you know, the run-of-the-mill.
What happened was, I whenever we were doing that boutique hotel, I I had this desire to do something different. I had this thing that I wanted something different. I just didn't want the normal ones that we were doing, you know. Like we were churning apartments out, number of apartments out every year, and we have five service accommodation on down the street, which does very, very well. So I knew it did well. I had been in the service before COVID came, then we came out of it. And this here, I just knew would work well. And so we have it up and running. So it's basically a house where we went in, took the whole inside out of the house, and we have seven beautiful bedrooms, all individually interior design. I did them myself. I've never done anything like this before. So it was all a steep learning curve, and I was trying to feel it just through that. So I started with the shower panels. Now, the shower panels are about £300 each, but they're beautiful. They're absolutely amazing, and I love them. And then we designed the rooms from the shower panels. It's probably not the way we should do this. Any interior design from them. What's she talking about? But so, it worked.
So what you're telling me, it's been designed on the back of a shower panel. That's... But no, in all fairness, have you seen these shower panels? They are, they're definitely different from what I've seen. You know, so it's been one hell of a journey, and you know, just I know there's some people maybe listening out there, and they're going, Jesus, Ruth is so far ahead of what I want to achieve, or you know, what I want to maybe aspire to get to. And it's about the stepping stones and maybe starting off and having a think, and the market and the news and everything else, you know, they'll tell you so much, and it's down to you to listen to that. But let's go back. We're going to give some nuggets of knowledge here from your mentoring cap. Now you're starting out, what's the first thing you would do? I know you said go and meet someone for a coffee and ask them, but what's the next stage then?
And I'm not saying this because I'm a mentor, but I'm going to say one of probably the most important things you can do, and it's not just any mentor. You need somebody that's actually actively out there doing what you want to achieve. Go and pay for a mentor. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to say you maybe pay £2,000 in the year for a mentor, right? But it's going to save you more than £2,000. I can see many a time when I'm talking to my mentees going, light bulb moment, that's just saved the money. That's just, because of something you've said, or go and try it this way, or go and try it that way. I was thinking of somebody on last night, and he was so excited. He got this fund of money, and it was a never-ending fund of money, and it was 18%. So I challenged him to look at all the different costs. I said, look at bridge, look at the mortgage, look at private investor. And I said, that is the most, you're excited about the most expensive form of borrowing here. But if you look at every other form, and just by that conversation last night, the Everflow was costing 7,000, the bridge was costing 6, the traditional mortgage, which he could take out, was costing less than 2,000. So that phone call last night with that individual, I just saved him £5,000. So his mentoring's been paid for in one sweep. So I would say to you, if you're very serious about moving forward, go and get somebody that's out there actively doing it, so they can hold your hand and help you to move forward. Because other than that, there's a minefield. There's so much training courses. There's training courses everywhere you turn, there's training courses. But it's okay, you go and get the training, but how much of it do you retain? How much of it do you remember? Whereas if you're working with somebody, they'll set goals, they'll help you, they'll talk through, and they'll hold your hand and help you.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
It's definitely so true, and especially when it comes to property, because it can be very expensive if you do make a mistake as well, you know. But it is exciting. There is a massive need, and suppose that's where the Northern Irish market and the Republic market as well, and the UK market as well, they've had a rough time in the UK, but as ever, look, there's a massive housing requirement, you know, even more massive from the different segments, social housing, and that a lot of it's, you know, a lot of the bigger developers have down tools. But even then, when you look at the apart hotel opportunity that's there as well, it's endless, because I think that's what people don't realize, you know. And I suppose in our property meets with people who service the sector as well, interior designers, you know, we have plasterers, with builders, with all those different small little businesses as well that are thriving Also, and you know, it comes back to that economy side of things and how important it is, because when you see the interest rates go up, everything else kind of stops, and you know that's not good. They give out a lot about the investment market, give out a lot about the developer market, and make it very awkward when it comes to planning. But it has a knock-on effect with all those different services as well.
Definitely does. You know, not only that, there the costs of all those things have been going up and up and up. So it makes you have to be so careful to keep a real tight eye on your budget, because all of a sudden, you know, you're overspending on job. I sat down with a man last week and his back's against the wall, completely back against the wall. And the prices that they'd quoted for doing the bills have just escalated, and therefore they're not making very much money, or maybe have lost money on their developments. And these are experienced people. So you do need to keep tight tabs on everything you're doing. You watch the pennies, the pounds watch themselves.
That's the good bit of advice there from Ruth. You're listening to Solid Foundations podcast. Of course, we have the one and only Ruth Smith from, she's originally from Monaghan, now living in Northern Ireland, investing in Northern Ireland, UK as well. Ruth, I think you do a little bit over there, or have you ventured over that far?
No, just in Northern Ireland. We have some stuff down as well, but yeah, mainly Northern Ireland.
What's the plans for the future now? I think you touched into one or two before we let you go, because we're conscious of your time. Yeah. What's the plans for the future, obviously?
Didn't touch on this. We've done a number of new builds as well. So we're always looking for new build opportunities. We would like to maybe scale up to larger sites. We have our second boutique style hotel on the go. We have the 15-bed HMO on the go, and we're about to start another 6-apartment block. We just got valuation this week on another one of our properties. We bought it at 60. We spent about 150, and we got a 290,000 valuation. So I'm well done.
You still got it, Ruth. You're still doing real estate. Look what you're telling me. Absolutely loads in the pipeline, so that's good to hear. And if people want to reach out to you, have a chat with you, where can they get you?
Probably Facebook. You'll find me on Facebook. I'm on Instagram and
all those new tools that people can reach out and get you as well. I suppose if anyone's looking to speak to Ruth, I can help them out as well. Well, look, it's been fantastic, and Christmas is just around the corner. And look, you asked everyone supposed to think about their why, and Christmas is supposed. The most special time of the year for everyone, spending time with the family.
Yeah, families.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, look, Ruth Smith, thanks very much for joining us here on the Solid Foundation podcast. I have to tell our listeners as well a little secret. It's Ruth's first podcast, so she hasn't done one before. So we've been lucky to get her up. She's done a lot of presentations, and she will be back in the Northwest Property Meet. And when she is there, do get up to meet Ruth, because you've done quite a lot of the presentation aspects, going to the different meets. How have you enjoyed that, Ruth?
I love helping people, Park. And if I feel, you know, through my presentation, I can encourage one or two people just to move forward with their property journey, that means everything to me. Just if I can help people, that's what I want to do.
Well, look, we'll have to get you back up to the Northwest Property Meet. Well, look, thanks very much for joining us here on the final edition of the Solid Foundations Property Podcast here. Of course, Lisa O'Reilly will be back on the next one. And we have loads of great content for 2024. We will keep you up to date with everything that we're up to. And you never know, we could be doing one live from one of our show houses as well very shortly indeed. So thanks for listening to us. From me, Pádraig Kilfoghlaigh. Happy investing. Talk to you soon.